is Bad Boys and Beyond with your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau.
That's it, baby, I'm foul.
Hey, I'll put it in the front page, back page, middle page, wherever headliners, column one or two, we will win game two. Good back it off, we will win game two.
The game's over and the Pistons have won the world championship.
Welcome back to Bad Boys and Beyond. We are your hosts, Mike Payton and Keith Black Trudeau. We are back again this week. We told you we were not going to take another break for another week. I told you that, and we're standing to our word. We're here again, second week in a row, 2 week streak. Look at us go. This time we are covering the 2021 NBA draft. That's right, the Cade Cunningham draft is here. Keith has the number one pick. I'm very interested to see what he's going to do. To me, it makes total sense that you would just select the guy who's actually been really good for you. But who knows? Keith took Terrell Brandon at number one. You don't know what this man's going to do at any point in time. And, oh, hey, Nick Saban's retiring. Not that that has anything to do with anything, but Nick Saban's retiring. What? I just popped up on my phone. Nick Saban is retiring, along with Pete Carroll leaving the Seahawks.
I know about Pete Carroll, but what now?
Nick Saban is retiring from football.
All right, that kind of broke my brain for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm awake.
Yeah, all right. Well, Keith's up. No longer need to put that pot of coffee on. But, all right, so there's one thing I want to talk about before we get into this draft. And that is last night's game. If you're listening to this on Thursday, I'm talking about Tuesday night's game against the Sacramento Kings. What the hell happened, man? Now, NBA on ESPN's Twitter put out a tweet after the end of the first quarter and said, and I quote, "The Pistons are cooking despite not having Cade," with the face emoji with the wide open eyes, and the Pistons were up 47-29. And before you knew it, they were down 68-65 at halftime. And then go on to lose the game by like damn near 30 points.
I mean, they lost by 20, but if you watch the game, it was only a 3-point Kings lead going into the fourth quarter. The Pistons, despite having blown that lead and going down double figures, they did shoot their way back into the game at the end of the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they just imploded again.
What's new, right?
No, it's standard practice for them. I would say the 47 points that they scored in the first quarter, which is the most any Pistons team has scored in the first quarter in almost 30 years. Excuse me, almost 40 years, 1986. That was certainly eye-popping. Now, this is the first full game that they played this season without Cade Cunningham, and that's something that's been passed down in the NBA on generations that has not changed. Anytime a star player goes down, a high-usage star player, the very next game, 9 out of 10 times, the support players will step up, get excited about the added responsibility, the opportunity to get more touches, and they'll simply play with more energy, and more than likely they'll play better, and that's what I thought would happen. I didn't think they would beat the Kings, and they didn't. But I thought the ball movement was really crisp. They shot with a little bit more confidence, everyone except Isaiah Livers, at least, who seems to have no confidence at all, and he was benched in the second half because he refused to shoot. And he was turning the ball over despite being wide open in the corner for three-pointers, and he was instead shuffling his feet and trying to get to the rim. But I digress. That's a minor issue. Bottom line, and this is something I've been harping on for months, it doesn't really matter. And this goes back to Cade Cunningham and how good he's been statistically, and it hasn't mattered at all in the standings. It doesn't matter how well this team plays offensively because their defense is so atrocious. They will just let teams back into it. And it's not like they scored 6 points in the second. They scored 19, I think, in the second quarter. They gave up, 39? I think they scored 18 and gave up 39 in the second quarter. It was disgusting. The Kings, for at one point, were shooting 90% in the third quarter, the second and third quarters of this game. It was the defense is the real culprit as to why the Pistons are 3-34. It's not the offense. The offense is bad, but any team, if they play hard enough defensively, is going to walk into a couple of wins every month, simply because if you play defense in the NBA, one night a week you'll get hot and the other team will simply be cold, and you'll fluke into a win in that on that specific night. There's a reason why it's almost no NBA team in history has ever gone 3-34, other than a handful of teams, including this year's Pistons. But bottom line, the defense is the main problem here. Now, I did go on Twitter. I picked them to win twice this week. And I stand by that because I think they have the Spurs tonight at home. I think they'll win tonight, and then they have the Rockets on Friday. I'm putting myself out there, but I thought they'd win twice this week, and I would like to reiterate, I still believe that. I think they'll play with enough energy where they will just catch a couple of teams off guard.
I guess we'll see. I do want to somewhat hastily, not too hastily, with some detail at least, but our friend James Edwards and multi-time guest. Actually, I think he's one of the only people who's been on the show more than once. Actually, he might be the only one that's been on the show more than once. That's how much we think of you, James.
Bryce has been on the show 3 times, at least twice that I can recall.
Bryce, no, he's just on that once. He didn't
No,
wind up coming back that second time.
that would have been a third time, I think.
I don't know. I think he was just on once. But anyways, we digress. James put out a great article today, and he listed four players in which the Pistons could potentially trade for. And I'd like to get Keith's thoughts. Mind you,
I did not read this, so this should be fun.
mind you, we don't want to, we still got a topic today, so we'll spend maybe like a minute on each target here. So the first one, and this is the package that James put together. The Nets would receive Marcus, or excuse me, Marvin Bagley and a 2027 second round pick via Brooklyn or Dallas. And they would get it, Royce O'Neal. And for me, that doesn't really move the needle. So what? I could
He,
care
he
less.
look, he's a role player, and I'm almost worried that this is James's way of trying to temper expectations on what Gore's promised to be a major change, which obviously Royce O'Neal wouldn't. However, Royce O'Neal is certainly good enough to be in the Pistons rotation and make them better. The problem is I don't know why the Nets would want Marvin Bagley when they have two excellent centers in Claxton and De'Ron Sharpe.
Right.
I don't know what his reasoning is there, but I mean, I would make the trade. I think it makes the Pistons better. I don't think it makes them a lot better. I just don't know why the Nets would do it.
Okay. The next one here is a three-team trade. I'm just gonna, all right. I'll just read it from the top.
Okay.
Blazers receive Joe Harris and James Wiseman and a 2024 first round pick from the Knicks.
Okay.
The Knicks would get Malcolm Brogdon, and the Pistons would get Matisse Thybulle and Evan Fournier.
No, 1,000 times no. And I understand the Pistons are giving up nothing there, but they're getting nothing in return. Matisse Thybulle is he's a nice energy defensive player, but I don't know what he brings you that Ausar Thompson doesn't bring you more of. So I don't know why you would even want to create more competition for Ausar Thompson's role when clearly you can't have two players like that have very little offensive skill and play the wing position on the court at the same time. You can't do it. So, and who was the other player the Pistons would get? Evan Fournier?
Evan Fournier, yeah.
Again, all right, he's the opposite problem. And the Pistons have plenty of 3-point shooters on this team. They still can't win games because they can't defend anybody. So I know it sounds like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth here when I just said no to the defensive player, but he's just so terrible offensively. He's hard to play. Evan Fournier, a good volume shooter, but I don't know what he gives you that Alec Burks doesn't already give you.
Yeah,
I mean, he's better, but I don't know how much better.
my only thing on Thybulle is it would be nice to have some defense off the bench because once Cade and Jaden and Ausar sit down, like this team just it can't, it's a liability.
Ausar has been coming off the bench. He hasn't started in a while.
Well, I canceled my Bally's account, so what do you want from me? The next one is the Wizards would receive Alec Burks, Marvin Bagley, and 2 second-round picks, and the Pistons would get Daniel Gafford and Landry Shamit. Landry
This is
Shamit.
probably my favorite one so far. Shamit can play. I mean, he's not, I would say he's average offensively and defensively, so that's an improvement on what they have. Gafford, certainly a better backup center than anybody that's on the team right now. Better than Wiseman and better than Bagley. So I think he would make the biggest impact. And they're not really giving up much. I like that deal. I would do it. I just these none of these are needle movers by any stretch. And I think maybe this is what James's overall point is here.
Well, there is one more, and I saved it for last because I think this one moves the needle. Because when I read it this morning, my first response was yes. Yes, all day, do it.
Okay.
I'm interested to see
I'm
what your
listening.
thoughts are. Okay, so the Golden State Warriors would get Alex Burks, Monte
Okay.
Morris, and a second-round pick, and you could probably see where this is going. Pistons receive Andrew Wiggins. Do it. Do it tomorrow. Do
Okay,
it right
so
now.
I'm wow, we could not have more opposite opinions on
Oh
this.
man, I
Andrew
know.
Wiggins is a terrible basketball player.
No, he is not.
If you take out the one fluke championship all-star season that he had in Golden State, he has been terrible. I don't mean bad. I mean his shot splits are very similar to Killian Hayes this season.
Eesh.
He is struggling, like with a capital S, struggling to play any kind of efficient basketball. And it's exactly the type of struggles he had in Minnesota. We all thought that he had solved those in Golden State when they won the championship. He was one of their better players. He certainly turned it around defensively, but simply as a guy that's going to score the ball, he's not very good at it. I don't know what happened to him to regress the way he has. I know he's had some personal issues, but given his contract, like, look, if he were a player making $10 million, $8 million, fine. By all means, kick the tires. See if you can turn him around. If nothing else, he's a good wing defender. But what is Wiggins' contract at the moment? And I can see why the Pistons give up nothing for him and get him in this deal because it's all about his salary. Wiggins,
I have it right here in front of me.
I'm looking at it right now too. So it's not horrible bad,
No, it's not bad at
but
all.
it's he's got 3 years left at what, 30, 50, 70, about $85 million. Yeah, my problem there is he doesn't cripple your cap, but if he's not playable, and I mean by not playable, I mean he's not a guy that's a lock in your starting lineup, then you're going to be kicking yourself for the next 3 years because you could have put that $26 million towards possibly somebody better. That's all I'm saying. I would steer very clear of Andrew Wiggins just because I don't trust him right now.
All
And
right.
I also don't trust him going from a championship organization to whatever the hell is going on in Detroit to you think that's going to turn his game around? It might actually, he might actually play worse.
Well, we'll see what happens. I still, for me, Pascal Siakam is the guy that you got to trade for. I know you've been vehemently against it, but I this team needs a
Because the
veteran.
price, like
Who
I like
cares?
his fit. Well, I would
I
care.
don't think that Alec Burks cares. Like, I don't get that sense at all. I see him smiling after like 20
I
straight
agree
losses
with
and stuff.
you.
I don't like
I
that.
don't care about trading Alec Burks. I care about trading the guys that they picked in the top five the last 3 years, which Toronto's A is going to want, and B, you're not going to get a guarantee that Siakam's going to re-sign. So if you trade those guys for him and then he decides to sign somewhere else during the summer, you have wasted all of those years of tanking for nothing, and you look like bigger idiots than you do now. That's all I'm. If Siakam was under contract for another 3 years, yeah, by all means, go for it. I'm just not keen on trading for a guy that I might lose in 3 months and have nothing of value left.
They're 3-34, Keith. They couldn't possibly look stupider than this, but I see what you're
I
saying.
think they could, because I think if you would have, if they go 3-34 and then they lose, say, Jaden Ivey or Ausar Thompson, or maybe both of them in the process, that yes, I believe that would be worse.
Okay. All right, one tiny last little thing here before we before we get into our 2021 NBA draft. I thought Woj put out a tweet earlier that I thought was something that maybe Pistons fans needed to hear, and
Okay.
I will read it verbatim. I don't think it's from a lack of trying, but you need other teams to be ready to make deals, and that isn't the case this far into the deadline, this far from the deadline. I do think Detroit will be active, and I do think they'll make some trades to change up the makeup of this roster. So basically, Woj is saying that it's just too early right now, and teams are just not going to be interested in trading at the moment. So I know everybody wants that to happen, but they just might have their hands tied.
A good GM does not ha never has his hands tied. I understand that there's no clear trade option right now, but there are always trades that come out of nowhere that you didn't think were possible or even some cases even realistic. Good GMs will keep things rolling. They will make something happen. They will find a way to do it. This is why I don't really like the narrative from the last summer. Oh, our hands were tied. There was nobody in free agency that moved the needle. Well, you didn't even really try. You traded for Joe Harris in the first day of free agency because you decided that you were just going to give up. I think that's a mark of a bad front office. A good front office doesn't make excuses. They just make things happen. I would point to the Detroit Lions in that regard as a team that they have a plan and they make things happen. They don't wait for good things to happen to them. This Pistons organization, I can't with them anymore. Troy Weaver specifically, but he's not alone. I really just don't like the narrative that they keep trying to push out that there's nothing they can do. Their hands are tied. No, I don't want to hear that anymore. Either make something happen or find someone else that take the job that will make something happen.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up. That's probably the most we've talked about the current Pistons before on this podcast. So that'll wrap that up, and we'll go ahead and get to the 2021 NBA draft. Keith, are there news and notes on this thing?
Not many. This is the first redraft we've done with rookies that have not been eligible to sign their contract extensions yet. So keep these next two drafts that we'll do. Keep those in mind with take it with a grain of salt. This is very early in these players' careers. This draft class has yet to produce an all-star, which again, not that surprising. Big feature that I can think of is this is the first NBA draft that featured G League Ignite players. This has essentially been a new avenue for the NBA draft for the last several years. The G League team set up specifically to feature NBA prospects that have elected to pass up college ball and go straight up from high school to the professional level. I think the jury is kind of out on the G League Ignite right now because their players have so far kind of struggled to make an impact in the NBA. This past year, especially, I think there needs to be some tweaks because I think the developmental system the G League has, I don't, for whatever reason, it's not working. I think they need to tweak it a little bit. But this draft has produced. This first G League Ignite draft class has some decent players, but they've kind of lagged behind where we thought they would be at this point.
All right. Well, You are up, sir. The Detroit Pistons are on the clock. Keith Black Trudeau
So,
has the number one draft choice.
for the first time since 1970, the Detroit Pistons, Troy Weaver at the very peak of his powers. Everybody loves him at this point because he gutted the entire team. Everybody was happy about it. Put together a solid tanking season where the team was actually competing night in and night out, even though they lost a lot. And somehow the lottery gods favored him and they won the number one pick. The irony is that the guy that everybody had mocked to the Pistons at 3 and 4 is currently one of the maybe the best sleeper pick from this draft, but we'll get to him later. So with the first pick, without further ado, the Detroit Pistons, and this isn't something I just rubber stamped. I really did think about this. I am going to stick with the player that scored more points and dished out more assists than any other player in this draft class. That is one Cade Cunningham.
Oh man,
I know, I know.
I was
I'm
on
sure
the
you were,
edge of my
Mike. I
seat.
am sure you were ready. I'm sure you were ready to set up a whole list of arguments why I'm an idiot, but I'm nothing if not honest. And I simply couldn't justify taking anyone else but Cade Cunningham here. I had a couple of players. I think one I thought may have been a better fit with this current roster. And another one I think has an outside chance to be the best player in this draft class. But right now, without the benefit of a crystal ball, I still think Cade Cunningham has the most overall ability of any player in the 2021 NBA draft to this point.
Yeah, I guess really the only players I was really afraid that you might take was I mean, I thought Evan Mobley would cross your mind just
Yeah,
because
it did.
and I thought maybe Jalen Green might also cross your
No,
mind.
not at all, Jalen Green. Jalen Green has fallen in my depth, my big board. Now he hasn't gone up. The other two names I considered were Mobley, who hasn't developed offensively nearly what people were projecting so far, even though he's been a phenomenal defensive player, and Scottie Barnes, who I think. Again, that might he may be the best player in this draft class in 5 years. I am not putting that pat. He has been outstanding this season. He's been really, really, really good. In addition to being the rookie of the year from this class, but I do think he's in a little bit. I think Cade Cunningham is just in such a horrible situation. It is really hard to judge where he's at right now outside of his raw point, steal, assist, turnover numbers, and the turnovers are. It's not great, but he's getting better at them. But as far as the things that he can do on a basketball court, his ability to simply create offense for him and his teammates, I think he does that at a better at a much higher level than anyone else on this board.
All right. There you go. Cade Cunningham, the first pick. I am now up with the Houston Rockets. I will not be selecting Jalen Green here either. This has nothing to do with the whole weird Detroit and Rockets feud that, like, I don't, whatever. I don't care that he cared so much about not getting drafted by the Pistons. I thought, okay, maybe. He spent like way too much time on it in his rookie year. Like it was one of the only things he would talk about. But other than that, I'm just not as impressed by Jalen Green as I may have been last year when I thought he had a much better season. I am going to go with a guy who honestly I'm also really not that much impressed by and don't think should have won the rookie of the year. But I will agree that he's probably the second best player in this draft. I'm going to go with Scottie Barnes at number
Yeah.
two with the Rockets. Again, I mean, I just think he's fine, he's fine. But he would be pretty good on this Rockets team that is actually re doing really well right now. But I think that they would be doing even better if they had a player like Scottie Barnes on their team.
So, yeah, Scottie Barnes was number two on my big board. Just the fit that he would have on this Rockets team. They already have their backcourt guy in Fred VanVleet, but you pair him at the wings with Dylan Brooks, and you have Sengun and I think this is just as good as they are now. I think they would be infinitely better with Barnes instead of Jalen Green. I don't think that's because Jalen Green is a bad basketball player. I just think Barnes is certainly better, but I think he's also a better fit on this Rockets roster.
Yes.
Okay, so number three, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I will waste no time at all. The Cleveland Cavaliers select Franz Wagner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Cavs have been looking for a wing for years, and yes, I realize taking away Evan Mobley probably creates a hole at the four that they're still trying to fill to this day. But Wagner is just so damn good. Wagner was the surprise of the 2021, even more so than Scottie Barnes. He was the big surprise of the 2021 NBA draft. Not to me necessarily, because I was telling anybody that would listen that he was a much better NBA prospect than his brother Mo Wagner. But yeah, he's averaging over 21 points a game this season, 6 rebounds, almost 4 assists. He is. If he's not the best player, he's the second best player on an Orlando Magic team. That is currently what? They're 21 and 16. They've fallen off a little bit, but they're still clearly a playoff team in the Eastern Conference, I think. It's weird when you watch Franz play because he has such an awkward gait about him where he just looks a little bit aloof and he doesn't look like he has NBA mobility. And yet he gets around players. Almost effortlessly with, sidestepping and euro stepping. And the fact that he's like 6'10" playing the wing doesn't hurt either. He's just a really good all around player. And I think he's going to make multiple all-star games in his career. That's how highly I think of him. And I think the Cavs, as interesting as this sounds, I think the Cavs might actually be better right now with Franz Wagner than Evan Mobley, simply because they have a little bit more balance.
So
All right.
here's the thing. I was so sure that you were going to pick Evan Mobley that I was literally on my board typing in Evan Mobley and had to delete it because I was shocked that you took Franz Wagner, which he's not a bad player. I just really thought that you would stick on that one.
Yeah, I thought about it. It's just I had Franz higher on my board, and if you look at Cleveland's roster. There's a massive, gigantic hole on the wing, and there has been for the last several years. They've got multiple all-star quality bigs. They have multiple all-star quality guards, and all I can think of is if you swap one of their bigs for an all-star quality wing, I think there's more balance to that team, and I think they have more potential to do damage in the playoffs.
All right. There it is. All right. Well, I am going to head over to Canada and
Okay.
I'll be drafting for the Toronto Raptors here. Oh, this is going to be not an easy one, I should say. This is going to be a weird one. I have some thoughts. I mean, my first thought was, well, I would probably just go with Evan Mobley, but I'm not going to do that. And Evan Mobley somehow is getting pushed down the board here. And Jalen Green is also getting pushed down the board as well. I'm going to take Alperen Şengün
Okay.
to go to Toronto. And I just think that this is a guy that he has gotten better every year in his career. And right now I mean, he's fantastic. It's 21 points, 9 rebounds a game. He's almost a block game as well. Like he's playing really, really good for that Rockets team. And I know we just tore that Rockets team apart, but I just think Şengün, along with Pascal Siakam, I just and OG Anunoby, who would have been on this team at that time. I think that's just a really interesting front court trio there.
Yeah, Toronto, not that they have a huge need at center right now, but yeah, he's obviously an upgrade over what they had. And look, Sengun is probably the odds-on favorite to be the first All-Star from this draft class. I think he's a very strong contender this season. There's not much else. I think the reason why he isn't in top two or top three on my board is just He is a center, and his defense is really, really lacking. They're able to make up for it with a lot of strong defensive players in the perimeter in Houston. I just think going forward, it's a little bit like the Domantas Sabonis situation, where he's just so dominant offensively, but still, when you get to the playoffs, he's going to get picked on a lot in pick and rolls and isolations, and with his limited athleticism, that's going to be difficult for him to overcome, but. Yeah, I don't think any of these teams on this board would be unhappy to have Alperen Sengun. Just an offensive monster. And I think he's long term, I think he might actually be better than Sabonis.
Speaking of Sabonis, there is a Netflix show coming out that is going to be modeled after that quarterback show that they had.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that tweet, yeah.
This is going to be good. It's LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards, and Domantas Sabonis. I find myself the most interested in watching the Domantas Sabonis episode because of the lineage of the Sabonis family, and I'm wondering if maybe we get to see some Arvydas in that as well. So whenever that happens, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll probably at least give it a look see. All right, so number five, the Orlando Magic are up. And this is a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer. Evan Mobley has dropped enough. Yeah, God forbid anyone from Cleveland is listening right now. They're probably cussing me out at this point, but I don't care. I've done my draft honestly. There's nothing personal here. So yeah, Evan Mobley, I don't want to say he's been brittle. He has been a little bit injury prone. Certainly in the playoffs, he got put in the weight room by the New York Knicks. That I think there are some holes to his game that people are kind of blissfully overlooking because, you know, he's such a fun prospect, just a outstanding switch big. Still a little not really strong enough to battle his way in the post. But yeah, he's extremely mobile, very long arms. It's not that he has no offense. It's just he doesn't do well outside the paint, which to be an oversized four, you kind of have to at this point. But still, we're look right now, he's averaging 16 points, 11 rebounds, just under 2 blocks a game. I think it's kind of speaks to how good this draft class has been that he's actually fallen to five, because a lot of other drafts, he'd be in the top three, maybe top two. Despite all the deficiencies I just listed, he's still a potential, you know, career first or second team all defensive player just about every year once he hits his prime and he gets in the weight room a little bit, gets his strength up. Also, and I did think about Orlando already having Wendell Carter Jr. Now, he is seriously injured. He's always hurt for Orlando, even though I think he's a tremendous player. I think Orlando, if he were healthy the whole season, Orlando would be a top three or four team in the East. I think he's that much of a difference maker. It's just every time I look at Orlando's, I watch an Orlando Magic game, Wendell Carter Jr. is never in uniform. I don't know if that's going to be a chronic injury thing or if he's just really unlucky. It's just right now, I think I would rather have an upgrade at center that I can rely on a little bit more.
All right. No, I like that. That's a pretty good, that's a good pick for the Magic. I think they'll be happy even though they're losing Wagner in this. But the Oklahoma City Thunder are now on the clock. I will not be drafting Josh Giddey today, and I think there's obvious reasons why I probably just won't talk about him beyond this point. I am gonna go with I'm gonna do something interesting here. Because we know they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's, I mean, I think it's fair to say a top five NBA player right now. Can I say that? Is that okay to say?
Absolutely. I thought he was top 10 coming into this season. So yeah, being where the Thunder are right now, I think he's moved himself into the top five.
He's incredible. He's playing point guard down there in Oklahoma City, and I wonder if we paired him up with Jalen Green, what would that look like? Do we have a situation where it's going to be, you know, who gets the ball or who's going to shoot or what happened? I mean, I don't know. I just look at a backcourt like that and I think, my God, who do you guard? Like, what do you do? How do you stop both of these guys? And
Yeah, I have no issue with you taking Jalen Green there. Is that what you're doing?
I'm taking Jalen Green.
Yeah, I mean, he's the highest rated player left on my board anyway. But yeah,
It
look,
was either.
SGA is not really a pure point guard. He is a guy that certainly draws a lot of attention. He's a lot like the type of player that everyone hopes Cade Cunningham will be someday. But look, Jalen Green, I think if you take away some responsibility and let him be more of an off-ball player, no, his shooting isn't to that efficient level quite yet. But I think if there isn't so much of a spotlight on him that he had being the number two pick in the draft ahead of guys that have had, frankly, had better careers so far, I think if you move him down the draft board and you take him at six or seven, one, I think that motivates him to have a little bit better career than he's had so far. And then secondly, I think that takes the pressure off of him. So it might flame out, but like, as you said, the guy that they actually picked at number six could flame out for completely different reasons. So
Yes.
yeah, I can see your logic here.
All right. Well, then I feel good about it.
I mean, he's
Well,
best player available to me anyway, but I can see it working.
sweet.
Okay, so I actually anticipated this because I thought there was a hard top six. So I figured at seven, I knew the type of players that I'd get to pick from. The Golden State Warriors are up next. This is their draft pick that they got from the Timberwolves in exchange for them taking Andrew Wiggins off of their hands. That was Andrew Wiggins' trade value 4 years ago that they. They got a lottery pick from the Timberwolves just to take him. I am going to go a little bit off the reservation here, but not too much. The Golden State Warriors, with the seventh pick, select Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson, late bloomer, which we all figured he would be because he struggled tremendously in college relative to his talent level. But this year, I think you're seeing the type of player that he can be, the type of two-way talent, the versatility, 6'8", 6'9", could play the three, could play the four. He's starting now in Atlanta. He's averaging 15, 16 points a game. He is the type of athletic glue guy that I think they were hoping Kuminga would be. And not that Kuminga's a bad player, but I think Jalen Johnson at this point is certainly a better player. And I think he fits that cerebral Golden State, what do you call it? Atmosphere. I really think he fits their culture. So I am going to pick Jalen Johnson, who probably, if we had done this a year ago, probably doesn't even get drafted. But that's where we are at this point. Jalen Johnson just needed a couple of years in development and the right opportunity, and he's thriving right now.
All right. Well, I am gonna be picking for the Magic, and
Okay.
you just took Evan Mobley for them.
Correct.
And let's see. They've got Cole Anthony at point guard at this point, even though they still decided to take a point guard, and now it seems like they really like Cole Anthony. Maybe regret taking Jalen Suggs, but I could be wrong.
Suggs is their starter right now.
They're not starting with Cole Anthony. Man, I gotta get that
I
league
think because
pass
of injury,
going.
they may be starting both.
No, you're right. Cole Anthony has not started a game this year, but still, either
Yeah,
way.
he's been their sixth man for a couple of years now.
Regardless, I'm not gonna take Jalen Suggs.
Okay.
What I am going to do is I'm gonna take Corey Kispert.
Ooh. Okay.
I just think that this kid is, again, much like Alperen Şengün is just kind of getting better every year. He's off the bench right now in Washington, largely because Kyle Kuzma's just so much better than he is. But I think that he could be, once they finally trade Kuzma and stop flirting with the idea of doing it and just do it already, I think that you'll see a lot more Kispert, and I think that he will come on to the starting lineup over there in Washington and continue to flourish. But he's a guy that I think would certainly help the Magic.
Kispert to me is kind of like Luke Kennard, where he is just a lights out knockdown shooter, but there's kind of a hard ceiling on him to me because he's, I don't see any path for him to becoming a competent defender in the NBA. So I think there's always going to be, he's always going to have trouble cracking a starting lineup no matter how well he shoots.
Who is a
Look.
competent defender in the NBA? Name four competent defenders.
Well, I mean, there's several of them still on the draft, still on my draft board, but yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. Hispert is, he's one of those guys that gets picked on, like Luke Kennard was when he was in Detroit. And Kennard was a fantastic shooter, instant offense, highly efficient, intelligent player. It's just anytime someone isolated him in space, he got beat. And that's kind of what I've seen. And that was the knock on Kispert coming out of, I think it was Gonzaga, that he was the best shooter in college basketball, but he wouldn't be able to guard anyone in the NBA. But look, he'll always have a place in the NBA. I just don't know how high he can get. Speaking of players that don't guard, the Sacramento Kings are up next at number nine. And see, it's weird because the Kings have so much talent right now. And it's really hard to pinpoint what their biggest need is. Because they have shooting everywhere. What they need is defense. You know what? I'm going to do it. I am going to select. And it's weird because they did take a guy here that does it, that is known for being a very good defender, but he struggles so much. And plus, he plays the same position as their best player. All right. I am going to select, God, I can't wait. All right, Herb Jones. It's going to be Herb Jones. I'm selecting Herb Jones. Herb Jones, who came into the NBA, shocked everybody by being one of the better defenders in the NBA. I don't know how he didn't make all defense. He was hurt a little bit last year. The knock on him was that he would never develop to be any kind of a quality offensive player, but he is slowly but surely, his percentages have gone up every year. He is almost a league average 3-point shooter at this point. Granted, all of them are wide open, but I don't care as long as they go in. And look, the defensive versatility he gives you at the wing position is special. There's maybe half a dozen guys in the league that can defend the way he can from the wing position. And I think if you put him on the Kings and give them that type of defensive weapon, I think it's a game changer for them. I think they go from being one of the best teams in the West to, one of the top two or three teams in the West. And I'm talking about a team that actually has a chance to advance in the playoffs and not struggle because they have no answer for the other team's best player. Right, so just so we're on the same page, you're drafting for the Memphis Grizzlies at this point at number 10, correct?
Yes, that is what I have.
Okay. They acquired this pick on a draft day trade that was later consummated in the Jonas Valanciunas Steven Adams deal from that sent Adams to the Grizzlies and Valanciunas to the Pelicans.
All right. Taking a look at this roster here. What do we want to do? They took Zaire Williams in this draft.
You are not taking Zaire Williams.
No, I am not, sir. I am not taking Zaire Williams. I think that I am going to take, actually, I will take a small forward. I'm going to take Trey Murphy here.
Okay. I was really considering taking him the pick, but it's just he would have filled in another. The Kings have enough shooters.
Yeah, I just think that he gives the Grizzlies another, right now. The Grizzlies are a team that rely heavily on Ja Morant, and they could use some more shooters, and this is definitely one that could do that. And he's averaging, almost 14 points a game right now, and is a pretty decent 3-point shooter as well. I just think that that he's going to help. He obviously has some maybe some injury issues. He's only played 14 games this year, but last year he had a really great season. So I am going to go. Yeah, with Trey Murphy to Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, how good were the Pelicans in this draft that they got two of the top 10 players, at least in our estimation? And yeah, they had the 10th pick and they had the 17th pick, and they got, I mean, they hit the lottery
with both of them. All right, so number 11, the Charlotte Hornets are up next. And this is not going to take me any amount of time. I am taking Austin Reaves, number 11. Austin Reaves, second-round draft pick. A lot of questions about his athleticism, but everyone, including infamously Troy Weaver, loved his skill level. Did not love him enough to guarantee him a roster spot and draft him, but he still noticed it. And Austin Reaves, playing in LA with LeBron has certainly helped put a spotlight on how good he can be. I'm not going to deny that, but look, I think he's proven at this point that it wouldn't really matter what team he went to. He would eventually find his way on the court, and he would eventually force people to notice him. The Charlotte Hornets, certainly much like the Pistons, they also have a very bad need for skilled players, especially skilled wings and guards. Austin Reaves can play off ball. He can be like a second point guard for you. He can do a great many things. Defending, not necessarily, but offensively, there's not a whole lot that he can't do for you and do it efficiently. And I think he'd be a fan favorite in Charlotte immediately, simply because they can't stand any of their players right now.
All right. Well, I am and you would know because you're actually there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking from experience.
You're seeing it firsthand. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do the thing that I think Pop would do. Obviously, I'm picking for the Spurs here.
Okay.
And there might be players that are better all-around players. But to me, I feel like Pop would just love a guy who can play some defense. Okay. And Davion Mitchell is, maybe one of the best defenders in this class, if not, the best. I don't know if I would say that's up to you. You are the defensive guru.
I think it's certainly Herb. I think it's certainly Evan Mobley followed by Herb Jones. I think I would put Davion Mitchell third.
Third, okay. I'm just here for the points. I don't pay too much attention to the defense. But Davion can be a lockdown guy, and we've seen it on multiple occasions, especially his rookie year. Now he's taken somewhat of a dive since then, and basically statistical points, assists, everything, it's gone down. He's obviously not starting as many games, but still defensively he's a great player, and this is a much better pick than Josh Primo. Because that nothing's going to happen with Josh Primo. So we're already ahead, and you're just going to wind up releasing him after 2 years anyways. But Davion Mitchell, I feel like, would just fit what Pop would want to do.
Yeah, I actually agree with you here. And look, Mitchell wasn't even on my board because I didn't think he would go in the top 14, but you actually sold me on Davion Mitchell. He is a Greg Popovich type of player. The Spurs are well known for taking players that have a reputation of being poor shooters and training them and teaching them how to shoot at the NBA level. For whatever reason, they're the only NBA team that's been able to do that. I wish the Pistons knew somebody that could do that because they clearly do not.
Bottom line, I don't think there's any game changers here for the Spurs, who clearly don't want to improve right now, because we all know in 2 years they've got Victor Wembanyama coming.
And, yeah, I think Davion Mitchell, he probably fits Victor a lot better than most of the other players on this board. So, all right, number 13, the Indiana Pacers, and there's a to me, there's an obvious answer here, and that's Jonathan Kuminga. I look at what the Pacers did with Obi Toppin, taking him from a guy that I had no interest in ever seeing play and turning him into an actual useful player. Kuminga has infinitely more potential than Obi Toppin, even though he's a very similar type of player, very athletic, moderately skilled, trouble with the outside shot, but he has the potential to be a fantastic defender, which I think the Pacers sorely need right now. And he's it's slowly coming around, but he's developing some creation ability in the lane, and he is hyper athletic, and also big as hell for a wing. Those are two things that have not changed since he was drafted.
So I this is one of those picks where there's been more productive players on the board, but I think his potential far surpasses anybody that's left, and I think the Pacers are a near perfect fit for him.
I like it. Well, that puts me in the position of making the final pick of today's draft. And there won't obviously be a trade up because, well, the Pistons took first pick.
Yep.
So I will be selecting for the Golden State Warriors.
All right. Mind you, I already selected Jalen Johnson.
Yes. Jalen Johnson's already off the board. I am going to go with a guy who led the nation in scoring at the University of Iowa the year before, Luka Garza. I'm kidding. I'm not going to go with Luka Garza.
I was this close to shutting off my screen.
What I'm doing.
I could not defend that.
I'm stalling. Is what I'm really doing. You know who I want to take? I want to take Bones Highland with this pick here. You know, right now, did you freeze? Or are you just
No,
giving me that look?
I'm just frozen. And okay, go ahead.
You don't like my Bones Highland pick?
No, because Bones Highland is like 1 foot away from being out of the league.
For what?
Because nobody likes playing with him. He was with, he complains about his minutes and his touches, and it's like he's a very talented player, but he just can't seem to understand that he is not a starting caliber NBA player at this point, and he can't accept a bench role. And everything that I don't like about what Bones Highland is mental with him.
That's weird because I didn't say Bones Highland, Keith. I actually said Io Dosunmu. No,
Okay.
no, you know, I didn't say that either. Come on, Keith. I'm just
Mike, I'm
trying.
not picking for Mike, I
I'm
am not
trying
picking
to
for you.
impress you.
No, I don't need you to just
No.
pick whoever is in your heart right now. If you
All
want
right.
to pick Bones Highland, by all means, go for it.
No, the person I'm actually going to pick for real, and then I'll stop, is Santi Aldama.
Okay.
I just think he's a good backup center and with starting potential. And you know, the Warriors don't really rely too much on their centers. You know, as you can see, I mean, Kevon Looney is not the greatest center in the world, but they make it work with him in the lineup. And I think that they could do the same with Aldama.
Yeah, I'll, S Santi Aldama is just—I think he's a nice role player. Was a starter for a little bit as a rookie with the Grizzlies, and that's when the Grizzlies were a very, very—they were winning a lot of games. He does a little bit of everything for you. He can shoot, spot up a little bit. He's a tremendous energy player. Tall, a lot of length. Play some defense. He's one of those glue guys that does a little bit of everything. It's kind of. It's almost in the same vein as Jalen Johnson, which once again the Warriors l love versatile players, if not anything else. So I do think Aldama is a. I think the Warriors are a tremendous fit for him.
Well, you know, I thought Luka Garza would have been great over there too, but no, you're I guess Aldima's the right pick to go with. And also, it reminds me of I went to the card shop the other day and got a like fancy numbered Santi Aldama card, and the guy was like, "Oh, you got to put that in a case," and I'm like, "Aldama? I mean, it's a solid backup, but."
I don't think I would go that far.
I wouldn't either. He's like, and he gave me a case. He reached behind the counter and he gave me a case. And I'm like, all right, sweet. Apparently, Santi Aldima cards are flying off the shelf right now. But that's going to wrap up our 2024, or excuse me, 2021 NFL draft and NBA draft. Jesus, I am tired. It has been a long day. I did so much stuff. I wrote so many articles today. Keith.
Crazy, we've done this whole draft and Penei Sewell was still on the board.
But yes, we will be taking Penei Sewell with the 15th pick. The 2021 NBA draft. That'll wrap that up. Some players that did not get drafted. Jonathan Kuminga.
No, Jaylen. I picked Kuminga. Remember?
Oh, like I said,
I picked him for Indiana.
I'm tired. Jalen Suggs did not get picked today. I know that for sure.
Suggs is having a very good season this year.
Chris Duarte.
I think he's about 30 at this point.
Sam Hauser did not get picked today.
I will never pick a Hauser in my redraft.
Look, man, just because, you know.
Sam Hauser didn't even go to Michigan State, so don't throw that
in. I know. But you know what Joey does? And you got your little national championship on Monday, so I get Joey Hauser in the NBA is what I get. But all right, we will be back next week. We're going.
I want to give one shout out real quick to me, the guy that was the second best center in this draft class that didn't get taken, De'Ron Sharp, the aforementioned De'Ron Sharp that we talked about before this redraft on the Brooklyn Nets. I actually really enjoy watching him. He's very much like a throwback. Reminds me a little bit of like a poor man's Dale Davis, just that throwback 90s style bruiser that will play tough defense and finish with force around the rim. Averaging a lot of he's damn near what, like 8-8 this year, despite playing like limited backup minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to throw him out there because that's another guy that, you know, prior to the past two seasons, no one would have given a second thought to, but he's had a little bit of opportunity this year and he's thriving. So the chances are in sometime in the next 2 years, someone that neither of us thought of is probably going to, you know, pop right up into someone else's 2021 redraft, you know, 2-3 years down the road.
Oh yeah. I mean, without question, I actually, my De'Ron Sharp story is I on 2K last year, I traded for him and he got me like 9 rebounds off the bench. 9 rebounds a game off the bench. Like, you got to love that. I thought you were going to give a shout out to Connor Stallions, but I guess we'll save that one for another show. all right. So next week we will be back. I just pissed off our entire Michigan fan base here. But next week we will be back. We are going way back in time. This is a Keith episode, ladies and gentlemen. We are doing the Bob Lanier show next week. There's going to be some interesting stuff. Maybe we'll get a little bit more in depth on his punch on Bill Laimbeer. Maybe we'll go over some film on that, perhaps.
The most dominant center in the history of the Detroit Pistons.
And then we'll talk about how all that got essentially thrown away for next to nothing. And he goes to the Milwaukee Bucks and all that stuff. So we're going to talk about all that next week. It's going to be a great episode, and we look forward to talking to you then. Have a good one.